OK, let's get you across the latest on that breaking story this past few hours. The Nobel Peace Prize has gone to two people. One of the recipients, there he is live outside his offices in Moscow, Dmitry Muratov. We'll dip into what he's saying maybe a little later here on Al Jazeera. Before that, though, let's talk live to the other recipient, Maria Ressa, Rappler's co-founder. She is splitting, I guess, the Nobel Peace Prize between herself and Mr. Muratov. Maria, I'm going to call you Maria because we have met face-to-face. We had a conversation at one of the Doha debates here a few years ago. Congratulations to you and to Rappler from Al Jazeera English, Maria. When the Nobel Committee phones you up and says, surprise, guess what, you've won, what goes through your mind at that point?
I was shocked, you know, and you could hear the shock in my voice. I was also live at that point for a panel on A Thousand Cuts, which is this documentary that was done about Rappler and what we've had to go through the last few years. But I get, you know, I went from stunned to shocked to when I was asked a reaction in that same live panel, it hit me and I cried. And now I am very humbled and honored and hopefully thankful that journalists have that, have the attention. The committee made a point to show that journalists under attack are critical and that perhaps our future is going to be dependent on how well we do our jobs.
What do you think it says about your journalism and also how your journalism is received in the, and I'm going to use a phrase that you've used for several years now, how your journalism is received in this global ecosystem where it is taken, absorbed, tainted, misinterpreted, and I guess twisted and then used against you?
Yeah, so our experience in the Philippines is actually, I think, the experience of everyone around the world. When news organizations lost our gatekeeping powers to technology platforms, those platforms abdicated responsibility for the public sphere. And that has made facts debatable, because the data, facts and lies are actually treated equally. In fact, the algorithms of the world's largest distributor of news, Facebook, actually favors lies laced with anger and hate. That spreads faster and further than facts. So when facts are debatable, when you don't have facts, then you can't have truth, and then you can't have trust. Without any of these things, you don't have a shared reality, you can't have democracy, you certainly can't have any meaningful human engagement to deal with the existential problems we face, climate, the coronavirus. So I think this is what the choice of the committee has shown, that we must maintain facts, but the people in charge of maintaining the facts, the people tasked with that, are facing far greater dangers than we ever have before.
Okay, Maria, but how does the world, how do journalists fix that? Because on its most simplistic level, you've got to get to those people, your publication, honest journalists have got to get to those people and ask them to trust you, ask them to believe you. You've got to find some way to overturn, I guess you could call it the fascism of lying, the fascism of untruths. But those people live in these echo chambers of Facebook and Twitter. That's why the Peace Prize didn't go to Facebook or Twitter, because that's the domain Correct. That those people exist in. How do you get to them and how do you change this?
We work on it on three fronts. The first is to expose, to tell people, to do these stories that show exactly how insidious manipulation happens, how social media has become a behavior modification system. The second is to actually strengthen independent journalism, continue to demand, in this case, legislation for the tech. And then I accepted a co-chair for the International Fund for Public Interest Media, along with the former CEO of the New York Times, to actually try to help independent media survive this. And then the third pillar is community. But you talked about trust. Well, you can't have trust if the platforms taint it, if a virus of lies enters the information ecosystem. So the way you do that is you begin to create communities that build resilience, and we're going to do that by making sure that it is fact-based, evidence-based reasoning that can help take apart the problems we face.
This is the Nobel Peace Prize. Peace or peacemaking has been in pretty short supply over the past, particularly over the past, what, 2, 3, 4 years in the Philippines, in the Middle East, across some of the African countries. You and I have talked about it face-to-face. We've discussed it on Inside Story as well. You're not a peacemaker, per se. Respectfully, you're not. You're a journalist. You're an old-fashioned, hard-nosed, knock-down-door journalist. When you run your editorial meetings and you say to your staff, yes, hit publish, hit send, put it on the website, do you perceive yourself as a peacemaker, or are you a journalist who's kind of laying out the facts to your readership?
They're kind of identical in the sense that, and this is interesting the way you laid that out, they're identical in the sense that it goes back to the facts. How do you make peace, right? You're going to have to get all sides to actually agree that this is, you know, what it is. This is a can of soda. But you're going to have to get people to understand that and agree to that. And if you can do that, then you can begin to heal divisions that are there. As it stands right now, the divisions are what's being pounded by information operations that helps power consolidate power.
Does it come down to a reality? Perhaps, Maria, and it's this. Whether it's Mr. Duterte, whether it's Vladimir Putin, whether it's any autocrat around the world, sooner or later, nobody is going to win. Sooner or later, people always have to talk. They always have to get around that negotiating table.
Absolutely. And that's meaningful human endeavor. Look, I've always said that we have to treat this time as like 1945. After Hiroshima, after an atom bomb exploded and we needed to stop humanity from doing the worst to humanity, right? And what came out of that? Multilateral, multisectoral, they came together, they created the United Nations, they created the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And somehow, by coming together, by agreeing, these are our principles, we were able to create this period of relative peace, right? So you're making me really think about it, but I think that's our role. Our role is to make sure you have the facts and so that everyone is sitting at the table and can talk to solve these problems.
Onward and upwards. Maria Ressa, great to talk to you, and again, congratulations.
Thank you.